darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, I certainly don't want to miss this moment. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson, in for Abraham Hamilton III. It is my pleasure and honor, as always, to sit in this chair and try to do as good a job as I know that young man does, and thank all of you for all of your prayers and support for making American Family Radio possible, frankly, because we could not do this without you. So God bless each and every one of you. Well, I've got a very interesting program planned for you. In fact, I expect to be with you tomorrow night as well, so please tune in again. I will have a guest with me tomorrow night, Bunny Pounds, who is the woman who pioneered America Reads the Bible. I'm sure you all heard about that. At almost week-long reading of the Bible by many people from across the country, including the President of the United States. So it's going to be interesting to hear Bunny tell the story about how all of that happened. So tune in tomorrow. She will be with me for a good part of the program tomorrow. Now, look, today I want to talk to you about something that I have been thinking about for the last several days, particularly given Memorial Day weekend, which has just passed. You know, Memorial Day weekend, for I would dare say the overwhelming majority of Americans, maybe 75-80% of Americans, is a time for remembering all of those people who sacrificed their all in behalf of our liberty. And we don't take that for granted, because we know that liberty is not the gift of our government. It is the gift, the grant of Almighty God. And we take that very, very seriously. And we ought to. And I think most of us who think normally have grateful hearts for that. Most of us who know anything about the world around us, rather than being resentful and bitter and angry and at our country as if, you know, America is the most terrible place on earth to live or to be, we are grateful that we are here, grateful that God saw fit for us to be born here, grateful that God saw fit for us to live in the greatest nation of opportunity that the world has ever known. And folks, that is not an overstatement. I mean, that is an accurate and factual statement. There's no better place that's ever existed on earth for human beings, to no better nation that's ever existed on earth for human beings to fulfill their God-given gifts and potential, and to follow those gifts, to follow that potential to the highest place they are capable of going. There's no better place on earth for that. And one would think that we would be grateful first and foremost to God who gave us this nation, and to all of those who have shed their blood and given their lives, that we might enjoy the liberty that God has given us, that we might protect it and defend it. You know, the ultimate steward of our liberty is each of us. You and I are ultimately responsible for our own personal liberty, and we delegate some of that responsibility to our government because we know that it is a responsibility that we alone cannot take on in every instance. So, for example, when an Iran wants to destroy us with nuclear weapons, we know that you and I are in no position to defend ourselves alone against such a possibility, and for them, an inevitability from their perspective. And so we charge our government with the responsibility of protecting us from these monsters who would seek to destroy us all. But that ultimate responsibility is ours, and we delegate it where necessary. That means that individual liberty is a precious gift to each of us, and each of us is a steward of that liberty. And that's where the Second Amendment becomes so important, because people who don't understand that, they devalue. In fact, they would like to invalidate the Second Amendment because they simply don't realize that the Second Amendment protects our right to defend our individual liberty from criminals, from predators, from a tyrannical government. that would seek to enslave us, that would seek to completely control us. And the sad reality is that even in the United States of America, we cannot take for granted that such tyranny could never arise. We just can't. Think about this. I'm sure you heard excerpts of Zoran Mamdani saying that if buildings do not, in New York, do not meet his specifications, they will seize those buildings and they will convey those buildings over to others, nonprofit corporations or other people who they believe will do a better job. In other words, the government will take the property from the owners and give it to whom they will. Can you spell communism? Because that's exactly what that boils down to. Here in Virginia, we are counting down the days now, because on July 1st, all so-called assault weapons will be banned. All firearms which have magazines, well, let's put it this way, all magazines of 15 or more rounds will be banned. You will not be able to buy an AR-15. You will not be able to buy a semi-automatic shotgun, and you will not be able to own a magazine that has 15 or more rounds, that holds 15 or more rounds. Now, they've grandfathered in order not to lock up the entire population, because that's what that would ultimately require, and in order not to end up trying to put people in jail who are otherwise law-abiding citizens. And since the law has now changed, they want to turn you into a criminal. They release the criminals, of course, to run the streets and hurt people, rape people, rob people, kill people. But the law-abiding citizen who has done nothing to anyone, it just happens to be a firearm owner because you have a magazine that they have decided is no longer approved, they want to give you a fine and put you in jail, up to 1 year in prison. I mean, that's what the law has been changed to in Virginia, sadly. George Washington must be looking over the balcony of heaven thinking, what in the world has gone wrong with my beloved Virginia? Well, we're going to do what we can to correct it. My point is, and I'm not in any way suggesting that we take up arms against the government of Virginia over this. What I'm suggesting is that this is precisely what the founding fathers had in mind, a government that would step by step encroach upon our rights and our liberties to the point where we ultimately had to fight the government in order to be free, because that's exactly how this country was birthed. Yeah, the country was birthed by the founding fathers and a bunch of other patriots saying, we will no longer accept the tyranny of King George over us, period. And if they are not willing to accept our peaceful withdrawal from his authority, we will fight to throw off their authority. Now, God forbid that that ever becomes necessary in our country, but I believe that the founding fathers being very sensitive to that because they themselves had to face that eventuality, wanted to make sure that every American had that right and the wherewithal with which to protect that right. And, of course, there are people who want to take that right away. And that leads me to something. I mentioned Mamdani, and there's Abigail. I call her Spinberger. Her name is Spanberger, but Spinberger, because she spun her way into office. But said, oh, I'm a moderate. I don't want to do that. I don't want to change anything. I don't want to get rid of ICE. I don't want to, you know. And then she got elected, and, I mean, the radicalism just began to ooze out of her every pore. But, you know, have you thought about this? And we've discussed this before. What is the commonality between these radical Muslims and these communists? Because they are joined at the hip. I'm sure you know that there's an investigation afoot right now of Hassan Piker over his trip to Cuba. Now, Hassan Piker is a Muslim. Now they say, well, he's not a practicing Muslim. He's a Muslim. you are Muslim by virtue of your father's religion. If your father's a Muslim, you're born, you are Muslim. He's a Muslim. But he just apparently loves communism. And I've thought about what is the commonality? Because, you know, we've often joked that if Islam actually took over. These radical leftists, the so-called LGBTQ crowd and the socialists and the, you know, they'd be the first ones to go. I mean, they would, it wouldn't take but 2 seconds for them to get executed. If the radical Muslims actually got the Mahdi that they're looking for, who would establish Sharia law and implement it at the point of a gun or bayonet. And these people who are liberal and we want to kill unborn babies and we think guys are born into girls' bodies, they would wipe them out in the blink of an eye. But right now, they're joined at the hip. Why? Here's the reason. And I want to expound a little bit further on this in the next segment, but let me just give you the thumbnail. Number one, they share a common hatred of the United States of America. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. They hate our country. They hate our culture. They hate our Judeo-Christian values. They hate our liberty. They just hate the United States of America. They hate our commitment to Israel. The left and Islam have somewhat different reasons, but nevertheless, they are joined in their anti-Semitic passions. But here's the second thing, and this is something that we don't really think about. Most people don't. They share a common love of controlling and enslaving people. Oh, yes, folks. See, that's why the partnership inevitably, were one or the other to take over, the partnership would ultimately dissolve because they both want absolute power and control and enslavement of others. Right now, they're joined at the hip because neither of them has that, but that's what they both want. You know, I've said this before, and forgive me if this is repetitive or redundant, but you know, communism is really nothing but a glorified slave system. That's really all it is. When the government owns all the property, the government controls everything. They control how much food you get. They control where you live. They control where you work. They control what you can do. They control where you go to school. That's slavery, folks. I mean, it's slavery. When they have life and death control over you. And almost virtually with a word, they can take your life away and it couldn't even be challenged. That's slavery. And that's really what Marxism, socialism, communism is ultimately is. And the left is toying with this under the guise of compassion. Oh, the government needs to do this, and the government needs to do that, and the government needs to do this, and the government needs to take care of that, and the government needs to do everything. This is attributed to Thomas Jefferson, whether he actually said it or not. I believe this really captures his sentiment. The government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you have. And that's exactly where Sharia law, radical Islam in general, that's where it goes. And that's exactly where Marxism goes, to totalitarianism, to absolute control and slavery and enslavement of everybody. That's where they want to go. And they're mutually compatible in that sense, except neither one of them would accept the other, sharing power. And I'll get a little bit into that when we come back. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. This is the Hamilton Corner. We'll be back in just a moment.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
We live in a crazy, dangerous world that includes spiritual warfare raging everywhere you go. We who are followers of Christ need to be warrior-minded in our approach to how we follow and live for Christ in this dangerous world. Not being alert, making unwise decisions, moving without a sense of urgency, any and all of these actions in wartime can literally cause someone to get killed. Psalm 91 is a unique weapon in Scripture that addresses many of the perils in life. Are you making it a priority to pray Psalm 91 every single day? If not, why not? Well, I'm not a fanatic, and I don't see a need to pray this particular scripture every single day. Well, if that is you, I believe you'd be wise to change your mind and to begin to pray this prayer every day. No one or nothing can protect you like God can.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And this is E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. Great to be with you. I want to start taking calls in the next segment. And of course, it's open lines. You can raise any issue you like. If you'd like to comment on the things I'm talking about, of course, I'd be glad to hear what you have to say about that. Think about what we saw during Memorial Day. I said, we expressed our, most of us, expressed our gratitude toward those who have given their lives in behalf of our liberty. But on the left, you had some really very strange reactions, ugly reactions, frankly. Did you hear about the congressional candidate from California who refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance? Refused to look at the flag, turned her back whenever she saw the flag. This is during Memorial Day weekend. This is how the left, the Democrat Party, this is how they choose to express themselves. Because, again, they have this hatred, this bitterness, this anger, this resentment of the United States of America instead of an attitude of gratitude. And then there was Jacob Frey, the infamous mayor of Minneapolis, who in his statement honored George Floyd. Not the people who surrendered their very lives, who shed their blood in our behalf all across this world. Not them. No. George Floyd. Now, you know, sometimes you really, the level of demonic deception is almost inscrutable, folks. I mean, it's unfathomable. Yes, I believe that George Floyd did indeed suffer an injustice. But he brought that injustice upon himself by engaging in fentanyl use and methamphetamine use and trying to pass counterfeit money and not cooperating with the police. And he sadly fell into the clutches of a police officer who just had terrible judgment. I don't know whether it was based upon racial animus or I don't know what it was. For me, that stuff is irrelevant. The only question for me is, the behavior itself, is it lawful or is it unlawful? Jury found that it was unlawful. He's in jail now. But what we know is that George Floyd's system was filled with fentanyl, filled with methamphetamine. His heart may have given out. I mean, he had all kinds of problems that he brought on himself. And people want to erect statues and then associate him with the brave, heroic people who gave their lives for us, doing everything right in that instance and nothing wrong. And finally, he got so much blowback from it that he finally did deign to put out a statement that acknowledged the people who'd given their lives on Memorial Day too. But that was an afterthought because it wasn't about that. Because as I've said many times, they don't even like us, folks. They don't like Americans. They are Americans, at least in name only, at least legally, but they don't like us. because they don't like our values. They don't like our ideals. They don't like our patriotism. They don't like us honoring these servicemen. Oh, no, no, you ought to be honoring George Floyd. Well, why? What did he do to earn me honoring him? He was a victim, yes, but that doesn't mean that you're some. That doesn't mean I should somehow lionize you and somehow you become a hero because you're a victim, particularly when your victimization was in part contributed to by yourself. You know, and when I was practicing law, we had a concept called contributory negligence. And what that means is, they probably still use the concept, but what that means is that even when you are injured by someone, as a result of someone else's negligence, did you in some way contribute? In other words, should you have taken some action to prevent the injury, and you were negligent too by not seeing that or foreseeing that by doing whatever you did, it would likely lead to injury, even if the person who set the situation up, who created the problem. I mean, so for example, you're walking in a supermarket and you see a great big old puddle of water and there's a sign there that says, do not walk, slippery, do not walk. Now, maybe the sign is not enough. Maybe there should be a gate, a fence or something around that spot. So to some extent, you might say, well, the company's negligent because they should have prevented people from walking. But if you walked in that spot, you've got some responsibility too, because you could have walked around it. So you were contributorily negligent in refusing to acknowledge that that was a dangerous thing you did, even if the person on the other side of that, the person responsible for that situation could have taken further actions to prevent the accident. So in other words, maybe you win $10,000 for your back injuries and the jury says, but you know what? We're going to deduct $5,000 from that because you should have known better than to walk through that. So this is the situation. I mean, yeah, I think that George Floyd did suffer some mistreatment. But he brought that on himself. He put himself in the position where that could happen. You know, we've got these teen rages, what they're calling now teen takeovers, happening all over the country. Now, we had one here in Virginia, in Norfolk, in the Ghent area, where some guy went out there with a flamethrower, poured gasoline all over the street and hit it with a flamethrower and lit the whole street up in flames and fire. I mean, I realize how many people could have been horribly disfigured or killed by this kind of action, but it was part of this teen takeover. We're here in the streets, and we're going to do whatever we want to do. I mean, if you get injured in a situation like that where you're part of that, well, guess what? You might be a victim, but you're a contributor to your own downfall, too. And you don't turn a person like that into a hero. You may lament that they were stupid enough to do what they did and lament whatever else contributed to that situation, but you don't erect a statue. So, yeah, Jacob Fry comes out on Memorial Day. We're going to honor George Floyd. I mean, oh, my goodness gracious, folks. I think about the brave men and women. I think of Michael Mansour, who during the Iraq War, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was during the Iraq War, Navy SEAL up on a rooftop providing cover for some fellow troops, and somebody, an Islamic terrorist, throws a hand grenade up there on the roof. And Michael Mansour, who was the head of his team, he was leader of his team, and he was near the stairwell from which the grenade came, but the grenade went past him. He was in the best position to escape injury by running down the stairs, but he didn't. He turned and dived on the grenade to save his fellow SEALs, and every single one of them was saved, and Michael Mansour was killed. Now, you mean to tell me you want me to put George Floyd in that category? If you've lost your mind. He doesn't deserve it, and anybody who does that is insulting every military veteran who gave their lives or shed their blood for this great nation. Yeah, it makes me godly angry. and turning your flag, your back on the flag. Just leave. Go find a flag that you don't mind honoring and acknowledging instead of standing around here in our country insulting all of us. And look, are you ready for this one? Did you hear AOC talking about the Northerners need to roll up on the South? What? I mean, what is wrong with these people? But again, what's wrong with them? They just don't love our country and they don't like the rest of us. You know, because the love of God has been shed and brought in our hearts, I don't like AOC. I don't like anything she stands for. But as a Christian, I love her because I realize God loves her and wants to save her. He wants to deliver her. He wants to redeem her. She is just as lost as a duck in a hailstorm. She doesn't know which way is up or down. But she's convinced that she knows it all. And is calling on, because of the redistricting stuff, is calling on Northerners to pull up on the South. Now, what in the world is she talking about? Not to mention, if she is in fact talking about a violent confrontation, I would not recommend that. because we Southerners, and even though I was raised in the North, my family came from Virginia, I consider myself a Southerner. We Southerners don't play. We believe, as I said earlier, we do have a right to defend ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not in any way encouraging violence against anybody or harming anybody, but I will reaffirm again our fundamental right to defend ourselves against those who would do violence against us and against our families. You barking up the wrong tree, sister. You know, but again, these folks just don't have any respect for the rule of law, any respect for common decency. You know, you hear them complaining about, they've had some recent protests at some of these ICE detention centers, and they're complaining about the treatment. But, you know, not a single American killed by some illegal alien, not a single child abused in trying to traffic that child into this country and make money off that child, not a single woman raped has been highlighted by these leftists and these Democrats. Never, ever, ever. They don't even bring that up. Why? Because they don't really care about what happens to the American people. They care about their own power, their own control. And they see these illegal aliens as an opportunity to get where they want to go. And they don't care what they do to you or me. Just protect them. Just justify them. Just keep them moving toward the voting booth so that one day they can vote us in and we can have absolute power and control. We can enslave the American people the way they deserve to be enslaved. I tell you, folks, we are in a spiritual crisis in our country because we've had so many people who think this way. You know, 30% of ages 18 to 29, 30% of people ages 18 to 29 believe that socialism is superior to capitalism and we ought to move toward a socialist system. That's almost a third of the young people coming along in our country. These are the people who are going to move into positions of power and influence and authority, and a third of them believe that nonsense. Well, they've been indoctrinated to believe it. They've been taught to believe it. Well, here on American Family Radio, at least, we're seeking to disabuse people of these wacky notions. Well, look, in the next segment, I want to hear your comments about the things that are going on, and particularly the craziness. I mean, Memorial Day used to be a time like July 4th when we were all united in our patriotism, and now you got people, I'm not celebrating July 4th. Why should I celebrate July 4th? You know, that Colin Kaepernick craziness. You know, and I want to say, no, you don't have to celebrate July 4th. You don't have to stay here. I mean, do yourself a favor and go live where you will be happy. I dare say, I think I'd be a little bit happy if you left, you know, because I wouldn't have to hear this nonsense from a person who benefits from all the blessings this country bestows upon you. Because it's always wealthy celebrities, people who are living the best, driving the best, protected by bodyguards, eating the best, and eating in the finest restaurants, buying the finest foods, who are complaining about how terrible the country is and how much they hate it. And you want to say, you know what? Don't let the doorknob hit you on the way out. why do you suffer living in this country that you so abhor? But we know what the game is. The game is better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. They would rather have a socialist dystopia to control than have a wonderful, free, prosperous nation in which they can't have absolute control. You know, that was the devil's attitude, according to John Milton. I think he nailed it too. John Milton's Paradise Lost. He said that's the devil's attitude. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. And I think that's the attitude of the left. We would rather reign over an absolutely wrecked America as long as we're in power than to serve in a country where we've got this little irritant called the Constitution of the United States that stops us from having absolute power and control. You know, I've raised this question with people, and they have often sort of looked at me because they hadn't thought about it before. I said, what was wrong with heaven that the devil rebelled? What was wrong? Well, I'll tell you what was wrong in his sight. He didn't run it. And we've got the same attitude on the left. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Stand by. We're coming back to take your calls.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind. By denigrating God, we have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at AFR.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
All right, we're back. This is E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Would love to take your calls, hear what you have to say about this. Let me just say, because this is some pretty dark stuff we're talking about, and it's very, very real, and I think we're at a crisis point in our country, culturally, spiritually. We've got to pray. We have got to pray imprecatory prayers against these folks and pray that God would just introduce such confusion I would say we have to pray prayers like Jehoshaphat prayed. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then set ourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And by the way, when they set themselves, they didn't go home and go to sleep. They took to the battlefield. They took to the battlefield, and God stepped in and gave them a mighty deliverance and turned the armies of the Moabs, the Moabites, and the Ammonites, and the people of Mount Seir against one another. And they destroyed themselves. They had come together hoping to destroy God's people, and they ended up destroying each other. So, look, I don't want anybody's destruction, but if it comes between their destroying this country and destroying themselves by their own wicked plans, I'll accept the latter any day of the week and twice on Sunday, because they're basically reaping what they've sown. I don't have ill will toward these people, but I certainly have ill will toward their plans for our country. So we got to pray against this stuff and then, of course, fully engage in the process to the full extent that God allows us to. The number again is 888-589-8840. Let's go to your calls. We've got Brian from Indiana. Brian, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, Bishop. I just wanted to, first of all, thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and your love for the gospel of Jesus. And secondly, thank you for your love for this country. I appreciate you so much. You know, it just sickens me that these communists want to take over our country. And, you know, if only we would have listened to old Joe McCarthy back in the day, maybe we wouldn't be where we're at today. Anyway, thanks for taking my call, and I'll let you comment from there.
Thank you. Well, listen, you know, when you mentioned Joe McCarthy, it conjures up such monstrous things in the hearts of so many people. But I'll tell you something, Joe McCarthy had a point. Now, they destroyed him. I mean, they really did a job on him. And he may have contributed to that a little bit himself as well. And I'll tell you this, why I think rather than a single person leading this charge, we need a lot of people leading it. I've called for a national security audit. We need to look at all of the ways in which our country is being undermined from within. Birthright citizenship, the extent to which communist China is financing a lot of these protests and a lot of these anti-American activities going on in our country. The spies that they have all over the country. Every now and then we see one arrested. There was a time when we saw several. I think at one point there were like a dozen of them being charged. Of course, the Biden administration dropped a lot of the charges against them. But we've got communist spies. Remember Arcadia, California. The mayor was convicted of spying for communist China. And then the institutional infiltration, all the Confucius Institutes, the purchasing of land near some of our most sensitive facilities, the purchasing of our meat plants and farmland, the extent to which communist China has been allowed to take over certain essential industries that we are dependent upon for our own sustenance. Yeah, all of that, we need to do a national security audit and correct all of that. I mean, and there's no better president to do it than President Trump. And I don't know whether he's thought about in those holistic terms, but somebody's got to. And they'll call that a witch hunt, and they'll say, you know, you're racist, and you know, I mean, you know, they'll trot out all the usual bromides, but it's got to be done anyway for the survival of our country. Thank you for the call, my friend. Let's go to Mike in West Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. Years ago, there were people who planted time bombs in U.S. government buildings because they wanted peace in Vietnam. And I think that those people, them and the people with the Che Guevara t-shirts, have been running the Democrat Party leadership ever since they nominated McGovern.
Wow. Well, you may be right, Mike. I'll tell you one thing. In my humble opinion, and thank you for the call, by the way, Mike. In my humble opinion, the spirit of the Democrat Party has not changed. It has always been the party of control. It has always been the party of slavery. And it has nothing to do with race. It's the spirit of domination as opposed to appropriate dominion. See, God gave man dominion, but man in his perverse thinking, once he became separated from God, didn't want dominion. He wanted domination. And that's exactly what they've become the party of. They don't believe in individual liberty. They only believe in collectivism, because the collective should have a right to impose upon you what you think, what you say, and what you do. And so in that sense, it really hasn't changed. The packaging has changed. The patina has changed. But the real, this insatiable thirst and hunger and desire to control people, it hasn't changed. It has not changed. Whether it's the Ku Klux Klan or it's Antifa, right? And you see the Southern Poverty Law Center. I'll take all that, because it's not about being Southern. It's not about poverty either. I'm insulted. The Southern Poverty Law Center. What's it? They were millions of dollars financing the very organizations they claim to be against in order to manipulate people to give them more money so they could fight these. Once again, folks, it just goes to show these people don't care about our country, and they certainly don't care about you and me. They care about power. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've got a few open lines. You can comment on anything we're talking about or something that we haven't talked about that you want to raise. Feel free. 888-589-8840. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Benjamin in Alabama. Benjamin, welcome.
Hi. I wanted to say that I agree with, you know, most everything you say. Related to how the liberal side is pushing. But I do feel that capitalism is failing us also. I think that it is basically, I can't put it into words, but I think that's what the third of the youth see, is the failures of capitalism that push them towards the idea that socialism might be better, even though we kind of know it is not.
Benjamin, well, tell me quickly, in what way you think, what you think they see that means, that tells them that capitalism is failing us?
Well, think about current inflation. Think about how the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Whenever you're on that bottom side, you look up and you see no way forward. And capitalism does that. It allows people who are in really rich situations to use their wealth to further their wealth. That's a reality that we live in, you know?
Okay, Benjamin, thank you so much for the call. I would recommend to Benjamin and to all of you who may hear this that you read, I wish I had the title of that book in front of me, but I'm sure if you look up Thomas Sowell's books, I'm not sure whether it's his, he wrote a book on communism, but he will explain something very, very important that all of us need to know that most people don't. This notion that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer is not true. Because here's what actually happens in our capitalist system. Now, believe me, I'm not saying that capitalism is perfect. We're not in heaven, folks. I think it was Winston Churchill who said, at least it's been attributed to him, capitalism is the worst system in the world, except for all the others. So it's not perfect, no. But here's what Thomas Sowell points out from a statistical point of view that most people don't know. That top 20%, that top 10%, that top 5% that people say the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer, guess what? That's not a permanent group of people. It's changing all the time. There are people, there are people at the very, very, very top echelon that have a lot of money and they're not likely to slip into poverty. But most of the people in that top echelon of income earners, they start out poor and they end up in that top 5-10%. And then at some point, depending upon how much wealth they've amassed, they may end up slipping back, not necessarily into poverty, but back down into the lower percentiles when they get into retirement, when they start spending down whatever wealth they've had. In other words, he points out that, you know, when people say the rich, it's as if they're talking about a single identifiable fixed group. Well, they're not. I mean, if you will forgive the personal reference. Look, I started out my early life at times eating mayonnaise sandwiches, biscuits, and syrup as my dinner because there wasn't any other food in the house. Now my wife and I eat whatever we want. You know? And I'm not going to share our personal information, but I tell you what, we're not in the lowest percentiles of income anymore. In fact, there are many people who would say, well, you are in the wealthy percentile, but that's not where I started out. And guess what? There are people, I remember a story not too long ago about a guy who was worth, I forget what he was worth, but, you know, a million or more dollars. And because of the internet burst, the burst in the bubble of the what happened with the internet when the internet's kind of went bust, he lost almost all his money and ended up working at a fast food restaurant. So that's the point. Capitalism is not perfect, no, but it is far more fluid and far more mobile than people want to admit, because they always talk about the rich and the poor as if they're always the same group, and it's just not true. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let me see. I've got some more calls here. Let me try to get to these. Let's go to Jeremy in Kansas. Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. I appreciate you being on the radio and saying the things that you do. I just wanted to say that no government is good without good people running it. That's why we need to check our iVoter guide, know who we're voting for, and get out and vote.
Amen. Jeremy, you've said everything that needs to be said about that subject. I just agree with you entirely. Let's go to Tom in Arkansas. Tom, welcome.
Hey there, Bishop. Thank you. Always glad when you sit in. I just wanted to comment on the caller before last because, you know, when I was a kid and when you were a kid, it was pretty easy for someone to open their own hardware store, or you could walk into Sun Records and record something. The capitalism is just not scaled in a way that I think a lot of people can even figure out how to get their foot in the door with it, you know? It's just, you know, it's a matter of huge population and the fact that we don't pay attention to God anymore. And you combine all that together, and I think people just look and they're overwhelmed. Plus, they don't get a good education, you know? So.
Yeah, yeah. Tom, thank you so much for the call, folks. We're getting close to being out of time. Look, you're right. There are obstacles. There are hurdles. And yet, people keep breaking through them, don't they? Let's try to get Marty in here before I have to go. Marty, welcome to the program. I think Marty's from Iowa. Welcome.
Yeah, Bishop, thank you so much. You know, just one of the examples of us being enslaved would be the property tax. And I love how President Trump talks about you don't own your house. You're renting it from the government. And not one American is opposed to taxes, but when they become overwhelming and overburdensome, mm-hmm. and we watch services drop and the price of our property going up, and it is, it's a sign that we have become so stupid that we allow this to happen. And then we see some of the crazy political things. I live in Iowa, and they've turned our beautiful Iowa into a Chinese fan corporation where these fans that are supposed to make electricity and they cannot sustain themselves. And that's a lot of our property taxes, which is
we're out of time, Marty. But Marty, we're out of time. Thank you so much for the call. It was Chief Justice John Marsh who said, "The power to tax is the power to destroy." Truer words were never spoken. That's going to do it for today. Great to be with you. I'll be back again tomorrow. In the meantime, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.